No, it's true. I was telling my wife on the way to church, I said, you're going to react to this message in three ways. You're either going to be like, yeah, I already knew that. Or you're going to be like, really have a dramatic shift in the way that you're going to approach God when you pray and when you ask for things. Or you're going to get offended and leave. So it's going to produce one of those three responses. And we've been talking about this before, and again, I follow a lot of ministries, and when I say this, please don't hear me, don't hear your pastor saying all the other ministries are wrong and Seven Mountains is right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, I get sent a lot of things. I follow a lot of other ministries. It's usually when things start to happen or speed up in a good way or a bad way, especially in American culture, where you start to see some of these things taking place, whether it's incorrect prophetic words. There's a lot of just false prophecy in the body of Christ. And unfortunately, I actually put a post up this week. And again, I don't know whether you agree with it or not. It doesn't matter. I do. That, you know, we have to be careful what we're listening to because there were a lot of people that came out and said Donald Trump is going to get back-to-back elections. So he's going to have 8 years. They specifically used the word back-to-back. And then when that didn't happen, the same people that said it was going to be back-to-back said, well, there's something big coming in March. March came and went. There's something big going to happen in June. June came and went. And I want to tell you that you should be listening. Am I against prophecy? No. If I was against prophecy, I wouldn't be a Christian. The Bible talks about do not despise prophetic utterances. And people quote that all the time, but they don't quote the next part. But what does the next part say? Test all spirits. And it talks about when a prophecy is given in the church, it says, let one speak and let two or three discern. And we've just thrown the discernment out the window. And so what I posted this week, and again, if you follow him, you don't follow him, you like him or not, it doesn't matter, is that Jeremiah Johnson, who's been in the prophetic, he was one of the few people, other than Chris Vallotton out of Bethel, that prophesied that Trump would get back-to-back terms. When it didn't happen, they came out and they apologized and said, our flesh must have got in somewhere. We got hung up in the whole thing. That is why I will continue to listen to their ministries. And anybody that said, something's coming in March, something's coming in June, I'm done with them. Because you should never listen to any prophetic person that does not have the humility of Jesus Christ. And humility is to admit when you are wrong. Amen. Yeah, you can applaud that. We should be doing that. I mean, in the body of Christ, there's a lot of voices out there that are saying a lot of things. My brothers and sisters, this is not my message. This is just an encouragement. Test the prophecies. Okay? Now, I am believing that Trump will be our president next year. I'm not prophesying that. I'm hoping for it. Or at least somebody in the White House that is not losing his ever-loving mind. And if you do not believe that, then you are not paying attention. That's not my political speech, but I would just prefer to have a leader of the country that is not in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. It's not a joke. He is. Okay, so this is a controversial message. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. Pretty specific, right? I want to destroy the idea today of Calvinism and the idea that God is just supernaturally controlling everything. I know some of you are like, Pastor, this is just your soapbox to stand on. Well, I don't like deception in the body of Christ. There's enough things that we have to worry about than false things. And let me tell you this. The reason I want to destroy it is not because I have a vendetta against the theology. It's a theology of no expectation. It's a theology that whatever happens is God's will. So if your baby dies, it was God's will. If your grandma dies, it was God's will. If somebody gets cancer, it was God's will. All of these different things. Well, I prayed and I believed it didn't happen. And so we take all the pressure away from ourselves and just going, well, the Bible just says believe and then it will happen. But what Calvinism does, that theology, and what the sovereignty of God says is basically, it doesn't matter how much you believe. It doesn't matter what you pray for. Ultimately, God's going to do what he's going to do. And so if that is truth, then doesn't it logically make us think that why should we pray at all? Why should I ask God to do something he's either already going to do or not going to do? And so again, that's the sovereignty of God teaching, that God is just going to do what he's going to do, and every single thing that we see as happens is just his will. And I would like to show you that the Bible says to the complete contrary of that. We also live in a day where we're listening to anything and everything, not just prophetic, but anything going, well, this teacher's written like 5 books, so he's got whatever he's got to say has got to be right. How many of you know that I'm not saying don't read extra biblical books, don't hear me out on this, but how many of you know that the Word of God trumps any extra biblical book? If some person write this and go, yeah, but I really like this author. I mean, you guys know that I like Andrew Womack. If Andrew Womack wrote something that was contrary to the Bible, I would call him out on it. We've got to start calling each other out, not to be mean, but just to say we don't want false doctrine and deception floating around in the body of Christ. Because what that does is it's actually detrimental to you. This doctrine of God's sovereignty and Calvinism and all of this stuff will prevent you from receiving the blessings that God wants to give you. Because you're just like, well, if he wants to give them to me, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So if I pray and that person dies, it was God's will, because God is sovereign. That is wrong. You know, I like it when people say, like, well, you know, God's got a day picked out on the calendar for you. And I'm like, yeah, but believing that, you would never attempt to raise anybody from the dead. You would never attempt to pray against a disease that might be taking that person's life. Let me ask you this. In the first century Acts, if people are just like, well, there is a day appointed for one to die, then why were they raising people from the dead? And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand, is everybody going to physically die someday? Everybody say yes, okay? Like people, they get all weird about, are you saying no, that it's possible to not die? Well, I'm saying Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And so we got to put that into perspective. But what I want to show you today is that Jesus said it. We're going to see it in James. We're going to see it multiple places. That in order for you to receive in your life, you need to believe. And if you doubt, you're going to do without. And I'm going to show you where these scriptures are. Because I think a lot of people approach God in our times of prayer and our times of talking to him with this beggar mentality, with this, oh God, if it be your will. And then if it doesn't happen, you're like, okay, it wasn't his will, I'm cool. And nowhere in scripture does Jesus say, don't pray or pray a simple prayer of if it be your will, and then whatever happens to transpire or manifest, then you will know that that was the will of my Father. There's no scripture anywhere. Now, are there some things that have been written that will absolutely come to pass? Yes, it's called prophecy, like the end times. That's absolutely going to happen that way because God has said it. But he also gives us a way to be able to communicate with him and to be able to receive from him. And so that's what I mean, that this is going to change some of your guys' lives, and you're going to be able to receive so much more. And it's not a way to like trick God to give you stuff. He's always wanted to give you these things. But see, because we don't see them, then the doctrine of God's sovereignty comes in and goes, well, you don't have those things because it wasn't God's will for you to have them, so you must just trust in his wisdom. I'm not going to say that to somebody who's sick. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And Jesus healed people. And he didn't refuse healing to anyone. Okay. Let's go to the first scripture. These scriptures are going to be on the board. They're going to be in your notes. We're going to take a look at the Greek. Let me bring this up here real quick. Okay, so this is John 14:12. We've quoted this scripture in here many times, but we're going to see it all in context. Truly, everybody say truly. Truly, knock this stuff off here. Truly I say to you, the one believing. Who? The one believing, not the one that prays a prayer, not the one that speaks, the one believing. The one believing in me, the works that I do, this is Jesus speaking, he also will do. And greater. Greater in the Greek is simply the word megas, which is where we get our word mega. okay? It could be greater in the sense of a miracle that we didn't see Jesus do, or at least is not recorded. I've given this example before. There was a woman who touched the hem of his garment and was healed, but we don't have any, but we have Paul later that they would remove like aprons and articles of his clothing and go throw it on sick people. We have an instance where it says that people brought sick people into the street. This is after Jesus went back to heaven. And it says they were hoping that Peter's shadow would come by and heal them. We have no, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we don't have any biblical references or documentation that Jesus' shadow healed people. That doesn't mean that Peter's better than Jesus. It's fulfilling prophecy that Jesus says, the works that I do, you will do and greater. It may be greater in the fact that Jesus never healed anybody with a shadow, but it could also just be simply greater in number because Jesus walked the earth for 3.5 years, and generations of people will be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Makes sense, right? Okay. So we said, it's the one believing will do these greater works. And then it says, he says, then, and greater than these, he will do because. Why? Because I go to the Father. What is he saying? I'm leaving. This is why the whole doctrine of cessationism, that the gifts have ceased, that, you know, it all died out with the apostles, is ridiculous. Because he said, you will do greater works than these because I go to the Father. Why is he saying that? I want miracles to continue. I want healing to continue. I want prophecy to continue. I want words of knowledge and words of wisdom to continue. But it's not going to continue through me. It's going to continue through you because I'm leaving. And we know that it is his will for it to continue because he left and then he poured out what? The Holy Spirit. And so I think it's ridiculous that, again, the cessationists are like, oh, when all the apostles died, it died. I'm like, let me get this right. So God poured forth his Spirit on all flesh in generations to come so that one generation could do it? That makes no sense. So he says, whatever you ask. Now, here's the things that we're going to cover here because we're talking about believing and receiving. He says, whatever. Whatever you ask in my name. Now remember, we've covered this many times. My name in the Greek simply means authority, cause, character, or reputation. Because people are like, well, how do I know if I say in the name of Jesus if this is his will? Was Jesus known as a healer? It's his will to heal. Was Jesus known as somebody who provided people by multiplying food and things like that? He's your provider. And all Jesus is a representation of the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we literally have a name for God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the one who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, or my healer. It's amazing when you see these things, you can't unsee these things, but you have a whole section of the body of Christ that there's a veil over them. They just can't believe that Jesus is as good. It should just be enough that he died on the cross for us and took our sins away. And bottom line, that's true. But if he wants to give us all of these other things and use us for ministry to be able to manifest his gifts so we can reveal and give glory to the Father, that's what we need to be doing. So he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Why? Again, we need to know becauses and so that's. So he does this so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you heal someone, I can guarantee you that person is happy that they're healed. But what was the purpose of it? To glorify the Father. But it's interesting because you know why it glorifies the Father? It tells you how good the Father is. It tells you how much he loves you. But remember, this is all contingent on believing. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, he repeats himself because apparently there's a whole section of the body of Christ that doesn't believe this. And even though he said it twice, people still don't believe it. Well, this can't possibly be true. It is. But let me say again, I'm going to put this caveat on this, or I'm going to addendum. People don't believe it's true because their minds are polluted with the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Now, again, let me phrase this out so, again, I don't have everybody leaving going, Josh thinks that we're higher than God or that God isn't sovereign. What I'm saying is the way that sovereignty is being defined today. Did God create the universe? Yes. Does anybody tell God what to do? No. Okay, he's first in rank and order. He is the definition of what sovereignty is in the dictionary. But this idea that he is controlling every little thing, then that means that all of the evil that's going on, he is either controlling or allowing. And if he is not good. Any amens on that? Okay, I don't know if I should amen. That lightning might just come out of the sky. And again, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, then you have to believe it's his will that I'm saying these things. So see what I'm saying? Then anybody can use that as a tool to say, well, you have to believe me because God wouldn't let it come out of my mouth if it wasn't his will, which is ridiculous. Are you tracking with me here? We don't believe this because somewhere in the recesses of our brain is the sitting and stewing there of the sovereignty of God. So he says, if you ask me anything in my name, my authority, cause, and character, reputation, I will do it. And then he says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And what is his commandment? Love others as I have loved you. The Christian life really doesn't have a ton of instructions that are hard to follow. It's just when our flesh tries to pull back is the problem. So can we all agree that this very clearly says that believing is a factor of doing the works of Jesus, if not the factor? And that we can ask him in his name, authority, cause, and character, and reputation, anything, and he will do it. And so when we pray something and it doesn't happen, again, our minds go back to the sovereignty of, oh, that must not have been God's will because this says that Jesus will do it. But see, maybe the real question is going, are you really believing? Or is there doubt coming in? Are you sizing up the situation? All of that is doubt, and we're going to see that. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, this is in James. Most people believe that this is the half-brother of Jesus. How many of you know that after Jesus was born of a virgin, but how many of you know that the husband and wife, Mary and Joseph, had more children later? Okay, this would be one of those children. If any of you lack wisdom, and all the people said, if you didn't say amen, you are so full of pride. Just kidding. Okay, if any of you lack wisdom, I ask for this all the time. You need to ask God, who gives to all. Now, your word there is generously. I cross that out because I'm not saying he's not generous, but that is not what that word means. It's the word haplos. Where did we just talk about this word last week? Remember, if your eye is single, haplos. And this is the only other place it appears other than that other text. So the Bible is saying that God gives undividedly and simply. I find it, and again, it just talks about the simplicity of God. How many times do we, and I've done this before, think like, well, you know what? If I just pray louder with more vigor and get my emotions involved, God's going to go, that dude is serious about what he wants. Okay, here, take it. The Bible talks about actually keeping your prayers short. Did you know that? Hypocrites love to pray long prayers, the Bible says. If you prayed long prayers, I'm not calling you a hypocrite. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Okay, so he says, who gives to all, undividedly and simply, okay? We get caught up in the emotion and the hours and the fasting, and I'm not saying that anything about praying and fasting is bad. That's a whole other teaching for a whole other time. That's praying and fasting is simply about killing your flesh, okay? But when you want to approach God, the single focus should be about, are you believing without doubt? If you have doubt going into a situation, let me give you some easy advice. Don't bother praying. And I'm just giving you advice James gives who is hearing his letter. He says it here. So it says that he gives to all undividedly and simply and without finding fault. And so if you ask God, it will be given to them. However, everybody say however. Okay, there's a caveat to this. Just like the whole thing going, if you said, well, we can all do the works of Jesus. That's if you believe that you can. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'll never be like Jesus. I'm fallen. I'm so terrible and all of that kind of stuff. God would never do a miracle through me, and he never will, because you are not in faith. Okay, so James spells it out. He says, however. So again, the context, you need something, ask God. Now, a lot of people will argue that this is specifically talking about wisdom, but later he'll use the word all things. So he's using an example of wisdom, but it's basically anything in the name of Jesus, because we already saw Jesus said you could ask for anything in his name, including wisdom. And apparently here, this tells us that having wisdom is from God. So he says, however, let them ask in faith. Ask in what? Faith. Not maybe, not I hope so, not if it be your will. Ask in faith. Now, I do want to tell you that in the Greek, the word faith and belief come from the same word. They're just, they come from the same root word. So some people are like, well, is believing different than faith? No. It all comes from the same root word, which means trust. If you say, I'm believing for this, then what you are stating is that you are fully persuaded and trusting God that this absolutely will come to pass. And that's important to know, because a lot of us are believing for things with conditions on them. And I'm telling you, if you are putting conditions on what you're believing for, that's just code for doubt. And we're going to start to get into the things where I told you, you're either going to get offended or set free in this. Okay? So he says, however, let them ask in faith, doubting nothing. Those are two things. Ask in faith, doubting nothing. And that word doubting is the word diakrino, which means discerning or judging back and forth. Another word they use is vacillating back and forth. So how many of you have looked at a situation and you've thought it every different way? You ever done that? Does that bring stress? See, focusing on those things is the opposite of meditation. Meditation, like when the Bible talks about meditating on God's word, that's what you're supposed to be doing, looking at it, dissecting it, taking apart. Oh, this is really good. I'm just eating this stuff up. And so worry is false meditation. When you're trying to judge something forward and backward every way, well, I'm going to see, I don't, that's this word, diakrino, and it literally is translated doubting. So he's saying, ask in faith, and we talked about last week about your eye being single, keep it single, ask in faith, doubting nothing, meaning you should not judge by the circumstances around you what God told you. And I'm going to give some real situations here where, again, this is where the offense may come. And again, I'm just telling you to set free, because there's people right now inside the church and outside the church that are dealing with tough decisions. And so I'm not saying this is a way to poke or twist at this. I'm just, my conscience isn't going to be clear if I don't tell you what the Word of God says. If you are setting yourself in a direction of faith, and let's say it's something that has to do with a medical problem, you need to decide from the beginning, are you trusting God or not? And trusting God means doing it his way. This is a big disclaimer, I am not against doctors and medicine, okay? But I'm saying, pick a path. This idea that God works through doctors and medicine, I'm going to tell you is wrong. And again, this is where the offense may come. I'm not saying that doctors and medicine are not here as a form of grace. Why? Because if it wasn't for doctors and medicine, all the unbelieving Christians would be dead. We have nowhere in the Bible whatsoever where Jesus sent someone to a physician. We do, however, the woman who touched the hem of his garment said that she had been to many physicians, had spent much of her livelihood or all of her livelihood, and she was no better and had gotten worse. Anybody ever had that experience? Pay a lot of money to doctors, you go in for a procedure, you come out, and now all of a sudden there's something else wrong. Now again, I'm not against you if you go that route, but don't call it God. There's no place that you can find in Scripture where it says God works through medicine. What would you think of me if I said, brothers and sisters, I have a headache. I think it's a caffeine headache. I'm going to drink this caffeinated coffee, and when my headache goes away, God healed me through the coffee. What would you think about that? Yes, you should go to a different church. How is that any different than what we say is like, I have a headache, I took this Advil, God healed me through the Advil. But yet we'll say it with surgery, we'll say it with these other procedures. Now, I'm not saying that you don't pray that, you know, because there are going to be some people that just do it. And if it's a loved one and you love them and they've already made the decision on their own, then pray, yes, for the doctors. Pray, Lord, I pray that their hands are steady. I pray that nothing goes wrong in the procedure. I'm not saying around that. But again, it's ridiculous that if you had two people with stage 4 cancer and they said, basically, you got to do these radical chemo and radiation treatments, and even then, we're not guaranteeing you that you're going to live. And the two people with the same disease, one said, yep, I'm actually going to trust the Lord, but I'm going to get all the treatments. And the other person said, I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm not going to receive a single treatment. And then after 6 months, both people are diagnosed cancer-free. And they both stand up here, and one of them that got every treatment possible to save their life said, God healed me. And the other person that got no treatment whatsoever said, God healed me. Which one did he heal? Oh, multiple answers on this. Which one did he heal? No, he did not heal both. He healed the one that trusted God and didn't get the treatment. So I told you this is going to offend some people. Now, is the person in sin that got the treatment? No. But I'm saying, I believe that we do not see the miraculous that they saw back then because they needed to trust Jesus or die. How many times, and I've been to Africa, there are more miracles, there are greater miracles, there are all of these things that are happening on a much larger scale because they have to trust God or they're going to die. And so I'm at a place that I just want to see more. And I was having a conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, it seems like as I've progressed in ministry, I've actually seen I'm just talking about me personally, laying hands on people, seen less healings than when I did starting on. He said, that's because your faith has diminished. And, you know, if I was full of pride, I'd be like, what? You need to look again. But no, I wanted to know, my faith is diminished. How? He goes, you know, in the beginning, you were willing to go to anybody's house. You were willing to pray over anybody. You even consulted your wife about dropping your life and health insurance because you just believed I was going to supernaturally protect you. Now, please, you don't have to go out and drop your life and health insurance. I'm telling you, this is what he said to me. He goes, you were so radically obsessed and faithful to the idea that I would absolutely heal every time. That's why you saw more. He goes, that thinking in your mind from being in ministry and trying to say the politically correct answers to people because you don't want to offend them, that's why this isn't happening. That's not hard to receive from the Lord. That's not easy to receive from the Lord. But when the Lord rebukes you, you can either listen to him and repent or just continue to do what you're doing. And again, you don't have to agree with me. But I'm going to go the route that I want to see more people supernaturally healed. So this says, doubting nothing. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being tossed, driven, blown by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They are double-souled, unstable in every way. So let's go back to the original situation again, just so we can close it out. Because apparently a lot of you disagree with me, which is fine. How can a person trust God to be healed if they're taking all of the treatments that would heal somebody who's an atheist, who's an agnostic, who's Muslim? There is no way to tell whatsoever that a supernatural thing happened by someone taking all of this treatment. But someone who was given 6 months to live, took absolutely no treatment, put their trust in God, and were given a clean bill of health, that is absolutely measurable in the supernatural. Now again, don't misunderstand. I'm not against doctors and medicines. I'm just saying stop calling it God. Because this is what I believe. I believe that if God says to you, you're going to be healed, that should be the end of it. It doesn't matter if you go in for a test and they go, it's spread. It doesn't matter if you go into a test and go, well, we didn't see this before, but now we saw that. All of that is the diakrino, the discerning or judging back and forth. If you've picked a path to be on for healing and these other circumstances coming and going, well, now I'm going to go this path, you know what that is? Doubt. Unbelief. I know I'm not getting a lot of amens on this, but I don't know how, if you cannot see this in the text, you need to ask for the veil to be lifted off of your eyes. And we're going to go on. Next verse. Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have what? Faith and do not doubt. Again, it's two things. Have faith, do not doubt. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree. What did he do to the fig tree? He cursed it. He said, you're supposed to have fruit on you and you don't. You're a hypocrite, so you will bear fruit no more. And it said it dried up from the roots. Now, most people, if they saw somebody do that, that would be pretty amazing. And do you know that when they, the line before this, I can't remember if it's in this gospel or Mark's gospel, they said, I think it's in Mark's gospel, Jesus, it's the fig tree that you cursed and dried up and told it to die, it's dead. And Jesus' response wasn't like, yes, it worked. He looked at them and said, have faith in God. So what did he do? He rebuked their unbelief. The fact that they were excited that it happened meant that they never believed it was going to happen to begin with. This is some hard stuff, but you don't come to Seven Mountains to hear fluff. I want to give you stuff that's going to set you free. I want you to start seeing miracles in your family that you've never seen before. And the only way to do that is apparently change the way that we think with the sovereignty of God stuff, this Calvinistic stuff, this God's just in control of everything stuff. And he says, look, I want to do all of these things for you, but you got to trust me. You got to believe me. You can't have any doubt. You can't go, yes, Lord, I trust you, but the doctor said this, and the doctor said this, and the nurse said this, and I have to take this medicine. You got to pick a path. And again, if you pick the path of the doctors and medicine, no harm, no foul. But don't call it God. We have this theology that God works through doctors and medicine, yet it's nowhere to be found in Scripture. And many people will argue with me and go, well, that's because there were no doctors and medicines back then. And that person doesn't know history. There was absolutely doctors and medicine. Luke was a physician. The woman went to physicians, plural. And then some people are like, well, their stuff was very barbaric. You know, they're putting leeches on people and stuff. If the Lord tarries 200 years, the procedures that we do today will be considered barbaric. We do procedures today that are barbaric anyway. It's called abortion. But I'm saying, like if you fast forwarded 200 years, there may be a pill that you just take for cancer and it just goes away. And you go, you know what, 200 years ago that you'd have to go for chemo and radiation and all of this stuff. And it basically could kill all your good cells. And most people that get those procedures done actually die from the chemo and radiation and not the actual cancer. People are like, that was barbaric. I can't believe we did that to people. So every time you progress, technology gets better. But nobody, if this was a precedent for healing, let me ask you this. Jesus knew there were doctors and physicians. Why didn't even one time he say to someone, look, I see your faith is faith to be healed through doctors and medicine. So I'm in agreement with you. Go your way. Go to the physician. Go to the doctor. And my Father will heal you that way. He never did. And do we believe the Bible or not? Okay, Jesus said, okay, let's come back here. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, rise up and throw yourself into the sea, it will happen. Look at this. And all things, everybody say all. We've seen all, whatever you ask for in faith. You know, Jesus keeps repeating himself with this. And all things, as many as you ask for in prayer, don't just focus in on the one thing. He wants to give you so much more. As many as you ask for in prayer, all things, as many as you ask, if you believe. What is the if? You believe. It's not all things, as many things as you ask in prayer, if it is my Father's will, you will receive. But yet, we have entire denominations that teach this garbage. This says, all things, as many as you ask for in prayer, if you believe. So who is the burden put on for you to receive from God? And you know why a lot of people don't believe this and a lot of people don't teach it? That's not very popular to tell somebody they're actually responsible. Somebody else's fault. I'm the wrong skin color. I'm the wrong sex, so I'll just pretend I'm another sex. I'm really bad at sports, so I'll just pretend to be a girl. We place all blame on everybody else. That is the number one problem, I wouldn't say just with this generation, with people in general. It's everybody else's fault. And so the doctrine of God's sovereignty is saying it's not my fault, it's God's. Well, why am I not healed? God doesn't want you to be healed. That's wrong. But see, then we go the other direction and go, well, but then if somebody is sick and they're dying and they're not well, and if you tell them, well, it's because you don't have faith, that's just really mean. Do you want to get to the heart of the problem and fix it, or would you rather just give PC answers that solve nothing? I'm not angry. I'm passionate about this. I want to see you healed. I want to see your family members healed. I want to see breakthrough. I want to hear stories after stories after stories after stories. And we're not just talking about healing. Anything you ask for, wisdom, prophecy, all of these things. He says, if you ask anything in my name, in prayer, as many things, if you believe, you will receive. It's a promise. If you believe your part, you will receive. I give it to you. And actually, I would tell you that the things are already yours. In order for them to be yours manifest in this world, you have to believe. All right, next verse. Truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, so it's the same account from Matthew, and now we're reading it from Mark. Truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, rise up and throw yourself into the sea. And look at this, and does not doubt in his heart. It's huge. If you're vacillating, if you're like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I should totally give this over to the Lord or not. It doesn't matter now because you have doubt. And does not doubt in a heart, but believe. So even this shows us that doubt and belief are on opposite ends. Does not doubt, but believe. So apparently if you're doubting, you're not believing. That what he says will absolutely happen. So putting this all together, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will absolutely happen, it will come to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass, and you've already ruled out that it is in his name, his authority, his cause, his reputation, and his character, you're like, this absolutely is. It's a promise of God. If you don't receive it, then I would check your heart and check your mind for doubt, unbelief. But again, we don't like to do that because, again, I talk to Calvinistic people that believe in the sovereignty of God all the time. Well, Josh, you know, I know that I have faith, so it just must not be God's will. And I just want to say, well, that's pretty arrogant. I'm like, even the disciples who saw Jesus do miracles every time, do you know how many times he questioned their faith? Jesus, wake up. The boat's filling with water. We're going to die. Peace be still. Where is your faith? And they were with God. Do you know that Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm not talking about faith for salvation. I'm talking about faith for anything but salvation. I don't doubt that most of you in here believe that you're going to go to heaven someday. I'm talking about faith now. Does not doubt in his heart, but what believes that he says will absolutely happen. It will happen. Because of this, I say to you, this is Jesus, all things. Again, everybody say all things. Which you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive, and it will be yours. So you are believing that the reception of what you're believing for will absolutely happen without any doubt, and then the manifestation will come. And I've done this before. If I've asked God for something and I'm believing for it and I'm not seeing it, I don't go, God, what's wrong with you? Are you having a bad day? Do you not like me anymore? I get inside myself and say, Lord, help me sniff out the doubt that I have. Lord, help me sniff out the unbelief that I have, because I know that that is the only thing that is preventing from receiving from you. And you know what? God will show you. Do you know why? Because he resists the proud and gives grace to the what? Humble. Humbling yourself when you do not receive from God and assume it is your fault, you have some doubt, you have some unbelief, something, that is a total humility posture before the Lord. And do you know how I know that humility will get you results? I'm going to tell you at the end. Let's go to the next verse. He also says this, whenever you stand praying, so this is in the same context, forgive. If you have anything against anyone. Now, this is my opinion, because it's in the context, I believe in another thing is that a lot of reason that we don't receive from God is because we have hatred in our heart, we have unforgiveness towards people. I can't tell you how many deliverance sessions that I've done is once you can pull the unforgiveness to the surface from somebody and get them to admit that they haven't forgiven somebody from, like, you know, of something that maybe a parent did to them a long time ago, you know, like maybe they were molested or, you know, maybe a situation with a relationship in high school happened that was really bad and they've carried that hatred with them the whole time. When, once they open their mouth and forgive from their heart, you wouldn't believe the transformation that begins to take place. Either demons start coming out of people or they just start coming up with this joy that's all over their face. If you have unforgiveness, I would ask God to search that out for you and forgive. Because he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. So he's saying, if you're getting ready to pray or ask God for anything, don't open your mouth until you realize I've forgiven everybody. Forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your sin against him. If you have fallen short, if you have sinned, if you've missed the mark, you sinned against God. So if you like those sins forgiven, then you need to forgive other people. Because he says, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you or forgive your sin against him. Now, what I want to show you with this remaining time that I have is not up there. So you can go to just the title slide. Okay, because I was looking at this morning and didn't have time to add it. Okay, in Mark 9:23 is the story of the demon-possessed boy. And there's a lot of fruit. There's a lot of revelation that we can get out of this. In Matthew's account and Mark's account, the father says, I brought my demon-possessed boy to you, and your disciples could not cast it out. Later in Matthew, it says the disciples asked Jesus privately, why could we not cast it out? This would have been a huge opportunity since they were trying to cast it out. It wasn't coming out. This would have been a great example and a time for Jesus to go, it did not come out because it was not my Father's will. But how many of you know that it's God's will for demons to be cast out of people? So when they said, why could we not cast it out? What was Jesus' answer? Because of your little faith. So we know that the disciples had little faith. Now in this account, Jesus says the same thing. Oh, and by the way, when he says, I brought it to your disciples, they could not cast it out. Jesus looks at the entire crowd of people and he says, you're a faithless, perverse generation. They don't even have the distractions that we have today. No phones, no TVs, no movies, no all of this stuff. All that stuff is distraction to take you out of the Spirit so that you will have no power in your life. And they doubted and didn't have power and missed the mark on not being able to pull this demon out of this boy because they had doubt and unbelief. And then later he says this kind does not come out with by prayer and fasting. He's not talking about the praying and fasting demon. He's talking about their unbelief. How do you get rid of unbelief in your life? Pray and fast. Why? Because that kills your flesh. Your most basic thing is to eat. It's a faith exercise to pray to somebody who you can't see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Praying and fasting is a lifestyle of praying and fasting to keep you in the Spirit. But he very clearly says it's because of your little faith. So here, in Mark's account, the father says the same thing. I brought you my child to your disciples. And he says, you know, your faithless, perverse generation, bring him to me. So then the father brings him. And he says, how long has he been like this? So apparently, if Jesus can ask how long has he been like this, it's okay for us when we pray with people to ask some probing questions. How long has he been like this? And he says, from childhood, he throws himself into fire, into water. He's always trying to kill himself. How many of you know that suicide, people that are thinking about taking their own lives, that's a spirit. It says, it casts him into water that it might destroy him. Look what he says to Jesus. He's talking to God. If you are able to do anything, that word, though, to do anything, is the word dunamē, which is where we get the word dunamis, which is miraculous power, might, and strength. So basically, he's looking at Jesus and going, if you are able, in miraculous power, might, and strength, to help my child, I'm begging you, do it. And Jesus' response is remarkable. He says, if you are able to have the power to be able to make this happen, have compassion on us. And Jesus said to him, if I am able. Now, we are such an arrogant people, that sounds arrogant. But I believe that Jesus is saying, you're asking the wrong question. The question is not if I am able. How many of you know we don't ask God, if you are able? Lord, can you heal me if you are able, if you have the power? The question is not if God has the power. The question is not even if it's his will. Here's what Jesus says the question is. He says, if I am able, his answer to the dad is all things are possible to the one who believes. So you've got this father. He says, Lord, have compassion on me. If you have the power to do this, then do it. And Jesus says, if I have the power or the will to do it, is not the question. You are asking the wrong question. You don't have to ask that question. All things are possible to him who believes or to her who believes. That is the answer. That is the answer that Jesus gave. And we know, not only did he say that to the Father, later the disciples asked him and he said, it's because of your little faith. It's not because the power, it wasn't like this was a super demon and you know, we need to like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, unite. No, the same power that can drive out a demon is the same power that heals us the same thing. It wasn't like we've got a, you know, maximum power in heaven to get this demon out. That wasn't the case. He said the problem is you're shutting off the power through your doubt and unbelief. I did not watch the Power Rangers. I just know about them. Okay, so he says, immediately, having cried out, the father of the child was saying this. Look what he says, and this is what I was telling you before, that I was going to tell you a story about how humility invites God to work. He says this. Now, you got to realize that he just looked at the father and basically said, the reason that your son is not healed is basically because of my apostles who have little faith and you. So instead of the father going, how dare you? This is my son. I have all the faith in the world for him. He didn't say that. He says, Lord, I believe. However, help my unbelief. or help my doubt. He humbled himself. Lord, you're right. I want to believe, but I'm doubting. Help me. And that's what I was saying. If you're not receiving something, ask the Lord, search it out for me, Holy Spirit. Show me where I'm doubting. Show me in my heart. Am I overanalyzing something here? Am I vacillating back there? Show me where my doubt is. Show me where my unbelief is. And when the Father did this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It says that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. And having cried out, thrown him to the ground in convulsions, it came out, and he became as dead, in order for many to say that he was dead. And then Jesus, having taken by his hand, raised him up, and he arose. So he either looked dead, or because of just the massive convulsions, the thing this demon's been tearing him apart for years, he could have died right there. But you know, Jesus can raise the dead. I'm telling you all of this again. It wasn't like, wow, we need to make some room in here for some chairs, so I'm going to give an offensive message so half of you leave. I'm telling you this because maybe you've been taught wrong your whole life. And again, I'm just the messenger. I showed you all the scriptures. I guess the real question is, do you want to see more miracles and healings in your life or not? Do you want to get more wisdom in your life or not? Do you want to receive more words of knowledge in your life or not? Do you want to be able to hear God so clearly that every decision you make in your life, he's speaking to you crystal clear? And I hear you saying yes. So then if the yes is and it's not happening, you need to start getting into a place of faith like you never have before. I don't care what anything is going on in the world. Close your eyes to the world and open your spiritual eyes into the truths of Jesus. Get rid of the doubt. Ask the Holy Spirit to search that doubt out and finally cancel it. Pick a path. Like I said, I'm sorry if the doctors and medicine thing offends you. Again, I'm not mad at you if you do this. I'm just stand up here. I've taken a pill for a headache before. And if you're like, Pastor, did you not have faith? Yeah, I didn't. I needed the headache to go away. I prayed it didn't go away. I had a meeting and I wanted it to go away, so I took it. But again, I'm not trying to say I'm humble, because if I say I'm humble, it sounds prideful. But I'm saying I recognize that I don't have to go, well, I took the pill and God worked through the pill. No, I took the pill that made the pain go away. But could you imagine a whole generation of people that if we didn't turn to that and we just said, I'm picking this direction and I don't care what happens. I'm trusting God because I know it's his will to heal me. I know it's his will to provide for me. I know it's his will to do this and this and this and this and this. I mean, if you want to try it for a year and you come back to me and go, I didn't get any more blessings by going your route, or the way that Jesus suggests to go, you know, but to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result is insanity. And I'm preaching this message to me. I got a rebuke from my daddy in heaven. You were not like you were in the beginning, as far as in the realm of faith and believing for healing. He goes, I know you still believe, but not to the degree that you did in the beginning. And so I want to see more. I want you to see more. And all Jesus just is saying is believe and receive and doubt and do without. That's the message. Doubt is the problem. Unbelief in the problem. And whose problem is it? Ours. I really believe that this is going to set some people free in some things that they are currently struggling with, or you need this knowledge now for things that the devil... How many of you have ever experienced when you get a new revelation about something, it seems like the devil begins to attack that exact same area, like within a week. And it's because he wants to put you to the test. It's not God doing it to you. The Bible says, do not let anybody say that God trials or tempts us in any way. That's in James chapter 1. But I'm saying, you may not have anything specific right now, but you're going to be able to put this into practice, because Jesus says, in this life, you will have trouble, problems. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So my prayer for you, as the worship team comes, is that just start picking a path. Say, I'm going to stop believing in all of this nonsense. So is God's will for my friend to die, or is God's will for me to be sick, or all of this nonsense, and going, it's up to me to be healed. It's up to me asking people to agree with me that have faith and do not doubt. And for anything else that you're believing for, because he just didn't say healings and miracles. He said, if you ask me anything in my name, all things are possible to those who believe. But I think for many of us, the first thing that we need to do is humble ourselves. This is my responsibility. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Amen.